Blue 32! Blue 32! Set!
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Grave Man. It's NFL time, which means we're bringing you our second annual NFL preview show, where Andre showcases his MVP level of knowledge on the NFL. Paul gets suspended for 4 games for being a hater. And yet again, try to come back from the PUP list for the 42nd time in my life. We'll forecast each division in each conference, our playoff predictions, our picks to win the Super Bowl with a little bit of fantasy and gambling mixed in for good measure. Please note, none of our comments regarding gambling are to be considered advice for you to follow. And if you have a gambling problem, please seek help. However, we are not the place to get it. With that, let's have some fun, fellas. All right, Andre, who's up first?
Hey, I'm just excited, man. Like, we made it. We made it from February to now. Oh, yeah. We are, pads is slapping. People, man, I'm ready. I'm ready. Hot. So it's man, is it hot. So let's go ahead. And speaking of hot, let's go ahead and start this off on the East. So we're going to knock out the AFC East, which might they got an argument, a legitimate argument to be the toughest division in football. So let's go ahead and talk about them for a second. So we'll go ahead and get with we'll let the Patriots jersey wearer come out here and show his knowledge first.
Wow. Well, we got a lot of movement going around. And this is a Tom Brady jersey. This is not a Patriots jersey. It just has Patriots on it.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? That's a disclaimer because I got a Tom Brady in Tampa too. So, you know.
But he ain't wearing that. So, yeah. All
right. Anyway, back to what we really talking about. I know everybody's hype over Aaron Rodgers. And you know, all the movement going on there, the players they've added, basically Green Bay East. They get to get to the big city after not being able to have no haircuts for the most of their career and no entertainment, no nightlife. You know what I'm saying? They get, the town don't close at 10:30.
Man, shout out to A-Ron, though. A-Ron is living his best life. He's out everywhere.
Right.
So we got that, but and everybody's still high on the Bills. I think we'll see if Von Miller can hold up. I think he's the key to what the Bills can and cannot do, in my opinion. And if they can get a run game, you can't, you know, we've seen Cam Newton, we've seen Lamar, and now we're watching Josh Allen, Cam Newton, that thing, and he's going to start missing games here soon if y'all don't get that boy some help in the backfield. But I think, to me, I know people are going to be real surprised to hear me say this, but I think the best quarterback in the AFC East is him.
You better not
say
it.
The boy on South Beach. The boy on South Beach.
He done said it.
He said it.
Oh,
he
man.
Said it.
Oh,
I think, man. I think if, you know, we always have somebody take a step back and somebody take a step forward, I think they're the team that challenges the Chiefs this year, if he can stay healthy.
That might be the biggest capital letter if since we started the great.
He got to not get slamped it. That's all.
Well, he know how to fall now, though. That's the key.
Did he do some crunches?
He's a karate man now.
Ab roller.
He bleed on the inside.
Yeah, but they got so much talent down there. Ramsey's going to be out for a while, but I think them bringing in Apple to go on the other side of old boy. So it's not going to be like they missing too much without Ramsey. You know what I'm saying? Because they got some help already back there. They got a Band-Aid, stopgap. Listen,
you just said
they got squad.
Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. If the Dolphins make a real run this year, it's, in my opinion, it's not just going to be the talent on the offense. It is going to be on the defense. And I think they actually made probably the sneakiest underrated move on defense by picking up Apple
mm-hmm.
with Ramsey getting hurt. Because here's the thing, for every, and we all know it's well chronicled. We mm-hmm. understand.
We understand
what we all feel about Eli Apple is, but here's the thing. The man is a professional.
Yes.
And he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna go out there for 60 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna look bad on 4 of them exactly. Okay.
You know what?
I think it's the offensive
boys in practice. I think they're gonna raise his game.
Right. But my point is this. I don't think that let me just say this. I think that honestly, the best team in the AFC East is the Jets. Because I think that the way that they're constructed, their roster is constructed from top to bottom. The only thing they needed last year was competent quarterback play. And the injuries to Tua are less, in my mind, important than can Aaron Rodgers actually play 17 games and look. Think of it this way. It's like when Denver won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. He looked bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
he looked bad by any measure.
The third best quarterback in the AFC. He's the third best quarterback. It's not a debate.
But here's the point. He doesn't need to be. But I think the Jets roster from top to bottom
out of bounds because he don't want to take chances and he mad at his receivers like he used to do in Green Bay and lead the league in throwaways. They gonna start booing that boy.
I think this is just me.
I haven't even got to the daggone Patriots. We ain't even nothing worth to talk about. Juju Smith, like come on, and Mac, it's not happening.
And that's
he's gonna find a way to win 8 games though.
I honestly think that you were right in the very beginning of this, that the AFC East is probably the most competitive division, in my opinion, in all of football. Because I think really the only team that you can kind of just cast aside to say, I don't believe they have a shot, is the Patriots. And that's basically saying Bill Belichick ain't going to think of nothing, which, no, I don't think he is.
He's going to find a way to be in every single game every Sunday
and or that's
Thursday
why
or whenever.
There you go. And so he's like, what Mike Tomlin is in the North, where it's like, you know, they're going to scrap with you. I don't care mm-hmm. who comes out.
Like punching the face.
But I honestly believe that this is just me. I honestly believe that the Jets, just from a health perspective, I think the Jets are actually, it's going to be and this is nothing against the Bills. Cause I mean, look at what we're saying by just basically saying, okay, I know Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and everything. They got Von Miller. But I really think it comes down to whether or not Aaron Rodgers can be above average, because you couldn't get worse quarterback play than what they were getting from Wilson. Like you really couldn't get worse than what he was doing.
I don't even think the kid was, you know, I've been hard on the kid the whole time because I've seen the kid from since he was 14, right? I believe the kid just isn't likable.
No,
he's
as a human being,
he's super talented. Right. Yeah. He can throw it a mile. He can run and jump like a deer. He's a super athlete. But I just think, just like I said, I worry about this kid being around black people for the first time in his life on a daily basis.
Honestly,
I told you that when he got drafted. Yeah.
He's never been
around black people in volume on a daily basis in his life, and I think he's gonna come off as super clunky and awkward, even though he probably means well.
But just as
trust me, I've been around these people and they come off as super clunky and awkward.
But just as a player, and this is why I'm giving the Jets props for at least finding a stopgap, because they were going from Wilson to Flacco, and then they had what's the guy, White?
Mike White.
Mike White, right.
Well, here's they had the Geno before that.
And okay, and here's what I'm saying. I don't think they know how to develop quarterbacks well in New York. And I think you don't have to develop Aaron Rodgers. I think he can come in, like I said, similar to what you saw with Peyton Manning when he went to Denver. Statistically and based on the scope of his career, it's not going to be MVP Aaron Rodgers. People who think that are losing their mind. It's not going to be MVP Aaron Rodgers, but he doesn't have to be because they have enough talent. And so I just kind of feel like, this is just me, I think that Aaron Rodgers gives them enough competency. Like, he can still make all the throws. He doesn't have to carry the team because that defense is the reason. Okay, they, yeah. Didn't they go 8-9 last year or something like that, or 9-8 or whatever? What, like, they missed the playoffs, but it was barely.
They missed the playoffs by one game.
With Mike White and Wilson and Flacco. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the craziest stat out of the Jets last year was that they would have went 14-3 if they would have scored 14 points a game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to tell me that that roster, even if there's – and obviously we always know, we get this disclaimer, there's going to be a couple of injuries here or there. But my point, even that roster is so loaded. Like he said, they literally needed to score 14. Actually, I think it was 13 points, and they would have went like 11-6. Like they, you know, it was something.
Well, they went a month without scoring a touchdown.
Right. And they actually, they won a game in that month. Like they were that talented. And I don't think that you just grab a four, what is it?
They also had a light schedule. Like they've been terrible. So,
I think light schedules are kind of the only thing, as far as I'm concerned, I think of light schedules is travel. I don't think light schedule, because the NFL is so balanced from top to bottom. We don't know what you're going to get from year to year. And you can be like, oh, that's an easy win. We got Houston. You don't know what you're going to get from Houston. You don't know what you're going to get from
Houston's
year to year.
Houston's 2 years away from whatever they're thinking about or talking about.
But my point is, we thought last year when you saw Seattle on the schedule, you were like, oh, that's an easy win.
That's easy dub.
And it was not.
They drafted tremendously. They had a bunch of young players that came in and was ready to play right away that came
or
off
2 years
draft
ago, or 2 years ago, mm-hmm. Joe Burrow destroys his knee, and they think you're looking at the Bengals on your schedule thinking, all right, that should be an easy win. And it obviously it wasn't. That's the type of thing. So I think easy schedule is a little, I'm not saying it's totally overrated.
I didn't say easy. I said it's light.
Okay. I don't think anybody has a light schedule in a division that loaded. Going to have to see Buffalo, Miami, and New England. And you got to go to Foxborough at least once. You got to go to Buffalo at least once. Like, you know, it's ain't no light schedules in that division, in my opinion.
I can't see. Like, Miami was uber dominant, though, until that boy kept getting slammed on his neck.
That's the problem, though. They were able to slam him on his neck.
I was about to say, is that going to stop? Like, it's football, though. Like, there's still going to be some slamming going on.
Look, if he
they're paid to slam him on his neck. By the way.
If he can keep from getting a headache every Sunday, they going to be a whole problem out here, bro.
I dig it. But so when I'm looking at it, though, I have to – this we're going to might as well start it off with a bang. I got Buffalo struggling to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
When you look at the division, like Billy, you mentioned, you know, the Dolphins getting Eli Apple is the sneakiest move. I actually think the better move was getting Vic Fangio to call a defense.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, as an actual move, like, their defense was not good last year.
I was thinking of players, but yeah, you're absolutely right. That right there, nobody's talking about that.
So what that means? So why I'm bringing that up is I think Buffalo has the worst defense in the division.
They lost Leslie.
He retired or took a sabbatical or whatever sabbatical. Happened.
Yeah,
took a mental health break or something.
Yeah. So when you got that coupled with the Jets defense is what it is. The Hoodie's defense is what it is.
It's going to be what it's going to be.
And the Dolphins.
They playing defense up there. You ain't going to get out of there with more than 20 points.
Right. Yeah. And then when you add in, you know, the Dolphins improved, I just got Buffalo falling back. I do think that the Jets have the best balance. It like to be able to win a game in different fashions. I think the Dolphins right now, even though the defense is going to be improved, they're still going to have to score a lot of points until everything settles in.
Explosive.
They are.
In the division. Easily.
But the question is going to be, you know, as we've mentioned, and I'm not even going to say just on Tua, fast people tend to pull things the older they get. So is Tyreek Hill going to stay healthy for 17 games? I know he's talking about.
Wow.
I know, you know, he's talking about doing 2,000 yards, which he has all the talent and skill and everything else to be able to pull that off. But you got to play all the games. Waddle already has some injuries as well. So it's just obviously every game is going to come down to health and things like that.
Right, right.
How deep are they going to be is really the question.
And that's actually the way you frame that. This, what is that catch all? They always say, which team in the AFC East has the least amount of questions? Mm-hmm. My personal opinion is the New York Jets. I do not like the Jets.
I think they have the biggest question. I believe Rodgers is a bigger question than everybody wants to understand. Like, he wasn't very good last year. He was bad. He was a bad quarterback last year.
That's the point, though. His version of bad had them a Detroit Lions rally 4 minutes left away from making the playoffs.
Well, he also had rookie receivers. Yeah. He was injured himself, which I get. I'm just laying it out. He was
always
injured.
Nicked up.
He didn't go through training camp, so they started off slow. He wasn't happy. There's a lot going on where I'm just saying from the New York standpoint, he has been engaged. I'll start there. Like, that's been bigger than anything else, is that he's been engaged.
Easier to get drugs in New York than in Wisconsin.
Hey, whatever it takes. Ain't that what Captain America said? Whatever it takes.
I'm just saying, bro. But I think dude is so wishy-washy at this point and so kind of like, my legacy is cement. My bust is already in Canton. Yeah. Like, I don't think he really – I think he's literally out there like, wee!
But I actually feel the opposite. I feel like he is completely motivated because of what you just said. He knows the narrative. He knows his reputation. He knows what people have said about him, that he was just there to get stats and MVPs, and all he got is one Super Bowl. I honestly believe that he is motivated enough that he takes it seriously.
I think he takes pride in his work. I don't know how much he cares about quote unquote winning. I think he does take pride in his play though. Every snap. I'm not gonna say he's cheat the game.
Okay, yeah. Right. Okay.
But here's also a difference though. Like when I mentioned the rookie receivers, like he looked at the talent that they drafted, which was they fine, they cool, they are what they are. But last year, he didn't have a Garrett Wilson. No. And I think that's part of the motivation now is something different. Like, yo, I got a dog over here. Garrett Wilson might lead the league in receptions. Receiving yards.
Vontae and you got Justin up there. I don't know.
He's going to be in top five in receiving yards. I'm putting that on that right now, that he's going to be in top five. You got Breece Hall coming back, that's really when the Jets season fell apart, was when he got hurt because Zach Wilson lost. The one thing that he could do is turn, hey, you know how to call the play and you know how to hand it off.
Just keep running back as a young QB's best friend, boy.
Keep doing that. So when he lost him and they were just scrambling to find running backs anywhere, the whole thing fell apart from that point. I think the line is going to be better. I think they have pressure to be able to keep an old man upright. So I think they're going to get that together too. When you talk about you didn't think Zach Wilson was likable, I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. But we've all seen, the Mean Machine, where they start letting people through to tackle Paul
Kruger. That's what I'm saying.
I think they did
the RG3 in D.C. Man. In that preseason.
Shout out to Lomas Brown. Lomas Brown gave everybody.
They beat it off on that man.
So I don't think the line is as bad as big of a question mark as they're going into the season saying that they are. I just think people with different motivations. They are going in. The receivers are more excited because they at least know the ball is coming in their general direction. Like, it's going to be somewhere in a catchable radius. And the line knows that they have to do their job. The defense is what the defensive is. Salah has done his job making sure that the defense is special.
McCole Hartman just came on TV yesterday saying that they're having trouble with the deep ball and the intermediate routes.
Mm. I'm going to need him to toughen up anyway, though.
And just to double back on something you were saying earlier, Andre.
He don't want to be hit.
I really do believe.
He got two of them things, though.
He do from the outside.
I do not believe that the Bills are going to win the division, Mm-mm. I do believe
that the Bills
struggle,
are cooked.
Yeah, but and I do believe that they'll struggle to make the playoffs. But I think, to be clear, just from my perspective, they're going to struggle to make the playoffs because the AFC is so loaded. It's not going to be because the Bills.
No,
are
yeah, there's no fall room off for slippage in the AFC. Like you can't get
a
out
game. Of the game a game is the difference between being the 1 or 2 seed, 3 seed, and the 7 spot and being out. Like it's going to be that tight.
There's only one team in the AFC that we can say is easily a bad football team, and that's Houston. Everybody else can whoop you on any Sunday.
We'll add the Colts into that. The Colts are bad.
They get a quarterback, they'll be fine.
They got one, but you know, you got a mad running back behind you.
He's only played like 10 games in his life.
He's gonna be running for his life. So, to that point, Paul,
that's all I'm saying. I think the Bills are going to put it to you this way. As currently constructed, with all of the weaknesses and holes we can identify, if you put the Bills in the NFC, they're the top wild card, or they'll win a division. In
which the NFC. Which one? The South?
I think they could honestly win the South, or they could win the West, depending on what happens at quarterback in San Francisco.
Are you serious? You think they could win the West?
Depending on what happens with the quarterback position in San Francisco, yeah.
Okay.
We ain't got there yet, but no.
How we jumped this far?
My point is that by comparison in that loaded division,
I get what you're saying.
The Bills are on the cusp, but actually, I mean, there's a lot of teams on the cusp. Like, they're no shoe-in. Bengals are not. Like, there's a lot of teams in the AFC because the AFC, they rearmed and is jumping. So,
everybody's young. Everybody's got a young quarterback now. Except the New York Jets.
And they went the direct opposite.
Right.
So now that we didn't got all the talk out the way, let's get some predictions going. Let's just go ahead and start from right to left. What you got, Paul? What's your predictions?
I got Miami winning division. I got Miami winning 13 games.
Oh, okay.
And competing for a bye. I got Miami that good.
I was about to say, that's spicy right there. 13.
Yeah, I got them that good. Okay. And you know how I feel about Tua. I've been on his back. So I got to come back with the same energy once he went out there and balled till he got hurt. He was balling.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think Tua is the best quarterback in the division right now. And if they can keep him up, I don't see how you're going to beat them boys.
I think, personally, I agree with you, except I think that's the biggest if in the history of pro football, because I don't think it's that the line is that bad. Mm-mm. I don't think the Tua knows how to protect himself. And so with that, I don't trust Tua. He's given me nothing in his career to trust him with. And I'm talking strictly on health. I'm not even talking about the person.
He's been hurt ever since every season he's ever played. There's been something wrong with him.
And honestly, and this is for another show for another day. I honestly believe that he's probably had concussions going back to Alabama nobody ever talked
Daddy
about.
Daddy used to bust his ass for throwing picks in high school and little league. Okay. Come on now.
With that, I've got it in this order. I got begrudgingly and reluctantly and it hurts me to say it. I got the Jets winning division. I got Miami with a wild card. I got the Bills right on the edge of wild card, and the Patriots, they just rebuild.
Yeah.
So what's your since he gave his four, what's your order, Paul?
I got Miami actually just edging out the Jets on a tiebreaker, even. Like, I got the Jets winning maybe 12, 13.
12,
games.
Yeah.
I don't think, 11,
it's
12,
a coin flip, and it's one of those a game weird game play then something like that. It's really and that close. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got the Bills needing help on the last Sunday of the game. They need like two people to lose and somebody else to win. You know,
Cleveland got to beat Cincinnati.
You know what I'm saying? Like they got into 1 year with the Bengals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Bengals got to beat the Ravens.
So you got you got the Patriots bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
I got the Patriots. They're going to fight every game, though. It's going to be a rock fight, and they're going to come with 2x4s and baseball bats, but you're going to get up out of there.
And I'm closer to Paul than it may sound, because I'm going to tell you right now, if Tua can play 14 games this year, Dolphins might actually run away with it. I just don't believe he's going to play that many games.
Like I said, if they can keep him up all season, it's going they're going to fight for the bye with old boy, with him. Yeah. He just him now.
Yeah, we just have differing opinions on whether or not Tua can stay upright. I don't. I have no confidence.
Well, I'm going to get these falling lessons a try.
And he was taking in the off
falling season. Lessons don't work. I'm back on my bull.
Fair point. So for me, sorry, I got the Jets winning the division. I don't have them with 13 wins. I got the division kind of beating up on each other. So mm-hmm. I got the records being a little bit more
11,
yeah, somewhere in that range. So I got the Dolphins finishing second. I actually got the Patriots finishing third. I think last year with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge being the offensive coordinator, like I think everything got skewed. They got a great running back. They got a really solid offensive line.
They got two running backs. They just added somebody.
Then they got two solid tight ends, and the defense can ball. So I got them in that 9-win category. Like I think two games is going to separate what this division shakes out to be from first to worst. So I got the Patriots finishing 9-8 somewhere in that range, and the Bills 8-9, 9-8, whatever that looks like. But that's kind of where I got. I think the Bills, they got I know they talked it out and bro hugged it, but I think they got a lot more issues under the surface.
Yeah,
and it's only gonna take one game, one bad game or a bad stretch to see that they didn't go to the right counseling.
When you don't get along with no QBs, it's you.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to say, the playoffs come around every year and you've been in them and
you done blamed everything on Cousins. Yeah. Now you blaming it on Josh Allen. Now they're gonna get you up out of there. You're gonna go somewhere else, like OBJ, and you're gonna blame it on him. What he gonna blame on Lamar this year?
And the only quibble I have with Andre, to be honest with you, because I can see all your points, is I refuse to believe that Josh Allen is gonna finish last in his division. I agree with you that is the likely outcome. I just refuse to accept that.
Von Miller can change the whole division by getting to them quarterbacks on Sunday.
Can be a closer, but their run defense was decent. Their pass defense was awful. So yeah, I get what you're saying.
I'm only saying that Josh Allen is.
Von can end the season for Tua. He can end the season for A-Rod, and then we just talking about the Bills again. In the whole season.
Josh Allen is like big, healthy Lamar Jackson. He's Cam Newton. And I'm sorry, I just refuse to allow myself to believe that man's only going to win like 8 games. Like,
We saw Cam routinely go 7-9 and whatever after that 1 year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
attrition, man. That cumulative effect.
He take a lot of shots. Now, obviously, some things can change if they sign Dalvin Cook or something. Something that we don't see. But at the timing of this right now, he gonna need more, and he gonna and to keep everybody happy. I don't see it happening.
That rookie tight end is showing his tail in camp.
No doubt. And even Knox is still a baller. Like they have the pieces.
Yeah.
But some of this stuff is lost before the season even starts. And all it takes is one little tap on the Titanic, and that thing going down. You sitting here watching the violin player going on down. We just gonna play the music, boss. Mm-hmm. But I dig it. So we got one person for the Dolphins and two of us for the Jets. And but we all think the Dolphins and the Jets possibly can make the playoffs, though.
Yeah, we believe both of them are going to make.
I believe both of them get in, barring again some catastrophic.
Right.
Because, like I said, Aaron Rodgers been known to break a collarbone.
he's also broke a lot. True.
He's broken pinkies and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we talking about Joe Burrow's calf. Aaron done had some calf things too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he's old.
Mm-hmm. Like, and it's cold.
Say, nigga, my age.
Oh, it hurt when you get old and you get hit.
It's so man. Good. Hut, hut. All right, now we're going to move over to do the NFC East. For those of you that are listening to us on streaming platforms, first off, we want to say thank you for that. We definitely appreciate the follow. For those of you who are watching us on YouTube or any other platform like Facebook and stuff like that, what we're doing this year is a little bit different than what we did last year. This year, we are going to do the NFC and AFC of each division and pair those up into episodes. We got five episodes that we're going to do. We're going to knock out the four division matchups, and then we're going to move over to our playoff predictions, which will come out on the Wednesday before kickoff. So I am excited that we have made it to kickoff portion of the program, but right now we got to suffer through preseason and see what the young people coming up and looking like. So shout out to all the people trying to make the squads. But let's go ahead and move over to the NFC East and see what we're talking about. So since I started with Paul on the AFC version of this, Billy, let's kick it off for the NFC because y'all already know where I lie. So this ain't gonna be this ain't gonna take very long for my take.
Do tell.
Right.
What do you think, Andre?
How you feeling this year?
Do you feel like
the y'all got a shot?
NFC champions can repeat? What say you, sir? No, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't have a whole lot to offer on the NFC East because I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion that the class of that division is the Eagles. But I will say this. I have a bombshell. Now I'm going to grab it.
Okay,
I honestly believe that the surprise team in the NFL, not just in the NFC East or in the NFC, I think that the surprise team this year is going to be the Washington Commanders.
Lord, oh, okay. Jesus. Okay. I thought you was about to say that other team in
Texas. No. They watch. No, they a wrap. No, I honestly believe that Washington, by virtue of going back to what you were talking about, Paul, with the light schedule, I think that this goes, and my thing, I generally tend to lean towards which team has the least amount of questions. Mm-hmm. I think that Washington, and I think that the separation between Washington and Philadelphia is Jalen Hurts. I think that's the difference in those squads. Now, granted, I know that they have tons of talent on offense.
You're talking about
in
Willis.
Philly, but here's my point. That talent didn't look the same until Jalen Hurts showed up. It isn't like they didn't have talent before Jalen Hurts got there. They didn't have a competent quarterback with competent quarterback play. And so they were kind of always in contention and always there. I honestly believe that Washington's talent level was underrated. I don't believe in the Cowboys at all. I believe that the Giants, I think they're going to actually be the surprise one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. I think they actually spent too much. Believe it or not, I'm saying this because I don't think they overspent on it. I think Daniel Jones is going to come all the way back down to his floor. And I don't even think it's a matter of talent. Like, he can't play. I just think the Giants are not that good as a roster. And it showed up once they got to the playoffs. They got destroyed.
Daniel Jones had one of the greatest games that anybody ever played at quarterback in the playoffs, too.
They got mollywopped. Like, I'm talking, they got, like, it was embarrassing how bad they got beat in that playoff game. I'm not talking about, okay, yeah, you beat Minnesota and, whatever. I'm talking about, my point is, I don't think that the division is going to be particularly competitive, except for the fact that I think Washington is at the very least going to make Philadelphia have to work to win that division. I don't think that Philly is just going to be like, they're not running unopposed is what I'm saying. I think Washington is a double-digit win team. They will at least get in the wild card if they don't sneak up on Philly. I don't think they're going to sneak up on Philly, but I do believe they're going to be the one team. Everybody's going to be like, for real? We didn't see that coming. Washington is that team. That's my prediction.
Okay. We kind of selling this division short. Like this division got three teams. They got three teams in last year.
Yeah. They won't this year. I don't believe so.
I believe Saquon is a motivated human. I believe Daniel Jones is more comfortable. This will be his second year with the coach. I think he'll continue to progress. I think the Cowboys, I think it's going to be a very entertaining division, more entertaining. And what you say in Washington, I believe all four teams will be decent, but you know how that division can go. You get, nobody wins it twice in a row, right?
Right. Right.
Like, so here we have that part of the history of the NFCs. Nobody wins that division twice in a row. As much as I think the Eagles are a juggernaut, I have to remember that part of the game. And sometimes when it takes like a 13 or 14 win team to win a division, we get back to where you can win a division with 8 or 9 games. 7,
yeah, right. Yep.
You know what I mean? So I believe that this division will beat up on each other. I think, again, health is going to be the key. I believe A.J. Brown's the key to Hurts. I believe him being able to take coverage allows Jalen Hurts to get in those running lanes, allows the running backs to also have running lanes, because you can't play them with one safety. You go one high, they're going to kill you.
Right.
They got too many weapons. They'll kill you. You know what I'm saying? You got the little kid from Alabama that go. I mean, they a whole problem. They got a bunch of talent.
A whole bucket of problems. Yes.
And, you know, say what you want about the Cowboys. They are also equally talented. Yeah. Their problem is they let their captain go, and he's waiting to find a job. I believe they're going to bring him back.
No.
I believe that's why they cut both of those kickers. I believe they're trying to find money to bring him back. They don't have a running back right now. The one they're counting on has never had more than like 170 touches.
And he's coming off of surgery. Yeah.
So
a real serious one too. This wasn't no pinky toe. Like he,
right. I shouldn't be smiling like this, but this is the demise of the Cowboys. So I'm gonna go ahead and let y'all keep talking on it.
Well, their quarterback routinely throws for a gang of yards. So that's why they let Zeke go, because they want to justify the money they paid Dak. You know how these things go.
Yep.
You know how these things go.
Well, just say it. Jerry Jones is the reason why the Cowboys have not actually been as successful.
No,
because his ego gets in the way.
No, Dak
even before him, he's always been in the way.
Even when it was Tony Romo lost a bunch of he lost as many games as he won.
But what I'm saying is Bill Parcells, like, I'm sorry, Jerry Jones got in the way. He got in the way of Jimmy Johnson. He got in the way of Jerry Jones. I mean, Bill Parcells. He's gotten in the way every time they've been real serious contenders. And I don't believe that's going to change now. I don't think it's an accident. Just like it was not an accident when these teams go 20 years droughts of not having the Detroit Lions and the Cincinnati Bengals in the 90s. It's not an accident when they go through these droughts. I don't think it's an accident that the Cowboys are the only team in that division who nobody ever really has to take seriously, because they ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, but you got to fight them off. They're going to play every Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I'm not too high on the Commanders, even though I'm happy. My guy Magic is in the ownership group. Shout out to Magic.
Shout out.
You know what I'm saying? So I got
it. Always comes back to Magic. For those who don't know, if Paul Wilson is anywhere near a keyboard, microphone, or your ear, it always circles back to Magic Johnson, Urban Magic Johnson. People, shout out to the Magic GOAT. If you want to come on the show,
Winning Time is back.
Yeah, I saw that too. I thought about you too. I was like, yeah, he ain't coming outside.
With the time, baby, that's my show. No, but still, I got to readjust my whole worldview on that perspective on that franchise, because I grew up hating that franchise.
Daniel Snyder's gone, yeah.
It was before Daniel Snyder. Well, hated them just because of that helmet.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. I always hated them. And I used to always wonder how people could root for them.
Yeah.
And
Art Monk and Doug Williams was not enough.
I rooted for Doug that day. That one day, I was a Doug Williams.
The Redskins fan. Made you cheer for people, individuals, yes. Not the team.
Right. Yeah, I love Daryl Green. Right. Would never say the team right. He played for, though.
Shout out to Dexter Manley.
Right.
So, I guess we'll, I mean, we're not even going to, we're going to be stating the obvious, but of course I have the Eagles winning the division. Now,
I'll go out on a limb. I'll go out on a limb. Here.
Go out on a limb.
I'm going to go with, I'm going to pick the Giants to win a division.
He don't believe that.
Not, I don't, but I'm gonna pick them.
Not in his soul. That ain't a soul pick.
I'm gonna pick, I got them all locked up. I got the division locked up where it's gonna take maybe 10 or 11 wins to win a division, and some heads are gonna roll in some places. Like I think McCarthy gets fired. I think Dak is gone. He getting up out of there. They're gonna get him up out of there. I think they just break down the Cowboys. I think the Eagles are neck and neck with the Giants. And I think it comes down to like the last game or the last week of the season. And basically you got an early playoff game. It's the 16th to 17th week where you got a playoff game now. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Like it always is in that division. So, you know what I'm saying? Where, oh yeah, you got the Eagles twice this month and you got to win both of them.
So or do you even want to talk? Do you want to talk, Andre, or are we just wasting people's time?
No, I still have interesting things to say.
Okay.
And I can go team by team.
I ain't gonna make it boring. I'm gonna go out on a limb. I got the Giants and the Eagles fighting for the division, and both of them are either 10-7 or 11-6. It comes down to a playoff game. I mean, a tiebreaker.
Fair point. So I'm actually going to start off by responding to some of the points that y'all have made. Not Uh-oh. That I'm disagreeing. No, I'm just
this going. This is some bulls.
Right.
No. Like, so Billy mentioned Daniel Jones and Paul mentioned Daniel Jones. And, you know, Billy said that, you know, his ceiling, it may be limited, but he's going to raise his floor. Right. It's kind of what I'm getting out of it. I just want to merely mention the fact that
I think he's super talented. Like, the boy can run and jump like a deer.
Achilles Smith was talented.
No, he got more heart than Achilles Smith. Achilles Smith was terrified out there. Come on, bro. Achilles Smith ain't never played a single series as good as Daniel Jones. And that's saying a lot. But Daniel Jones has some embarrassing moments. And like,
all I'm going to say is keep that same energy when we get – we'll come back to that later.
Okay. So Daniel Jones, just for people who may not remember, because he did get a $40 million contract per season. We've had offline discussions about his worth on this. Mm-hmm. I just would like to people to know, if you haven't checked, he only threw for 15 touchdowns last year. Seven interceptions. Hold on. It was 15 touchdowns and five interceptions. 15 and five. Brock Purdy last year.
Come on, man.
Oh,
and without Debo the whole time.
Come on, man.
Without Debo.
And still had Kyle Shanahan. And he had C-Mac.
In seven games, Brock Purdy put up the same stats that Daniel Jones did in 17. That's all y'all can take that for whatever you want. I'm just putting that out there. Now, your point about the single high safety with the Giants. Or the single high safety trying to defend the Eagles is actually true, and the Giants found that out. You can't go single high safety because that's why that game looked that bad. That's why that
game. And some of that was personnel. They was like, sometimes you get in that situation, it was like, I don't have another defense we can run because we don't have the bodies for it. And that's, right. You know, it is.
Look,
what
man,
it is.
you better go to sticks coverage and come up and make tackles.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all you can do with them.
That was so completely, like, I mean, when games look that bad, sometimes it's talent, but when you at this level where everybody got talent, that's coaching. When it get that bad. Yeah, especially in the playoffs. I actually tend to agree with Billy on the Commanders. I got them kind of looking similar to how the Carolina Panthers would look, where they're in a lot of games. Because, you know, Riverboat Ron is in charge. So 9-8, 10-7, somewhere in that range is what I got it at for them. They're going to be a problem, especially if Chase is healthy coming off the end again, where the defense can get back to playing the real defense. I know he had the knee issue and things like that, but if he can put it, and I know this is another if, and we got a lot of ifs when we come through for the NFL, but if he can get back to his playing form that he was in his rookie year, that defense is going to be formidable. The one thing that people don't understand when you're talking about the NFC East, though, is that we are possibly the best defensive division in football when you look at it. The Giants were third in the league in turnovers. Washington gave up, I think, the fifth fewest points. The Eagles were a top three defense. And the Cowboys
were – they were the bottom of the pack, but actually
– I want to say they were four.
Right. Yeah, so when you look at the top of the defenses, when you take all 32 teams, the NFC East, I want to say had seven of the top seven. Like we finished within the top seven.
The Cowboys shored up that back end. The Cowboys may be able to play single high with y'all, real talk. Right. I'm going to be – if one team can do it, it's Dallas.
The Cowboys have a lot of underrated talent on defense. Everybody talks about Dak and losing Zeke, but actually their defense is kind of
their defense
special.
Is going to be very
they shored
special.
Up Hooker, and they brought in Stephon Gilmore. They got posse on that back end.
The problem with where the Cowboys were against the Eagles.
And they re-signed Wilson.
But the run defense has been the Cowboys' Achilles heel. And they drafted old boy from Michigan to kind of give him a defensive tackle presence
They let your boy go. They came out of Notre Dame. They let him go. Mm-hmm. And then the Wolf Hunter, he just ain't been healthy.
Right. And Randy Gregory was out doing Randy Gregory things and stuff like that. But their run defense is the issue. And Kyle whatever the linebacker is that wears the neck collar, the middle linebacker.
Wolf Hunter?
Yeah,
Wolf Hunter.
Yeah,
that's what they call him.
So he's a solid football player, but I mean, the Eagles, when you're talking about facing elite, you know, running games and offensive lines and things like that, which the Eagles still have, the offensive line is an elite offensive line. That's where the Cowboys' problem is. Now, when we look at Mike McCarthy, I know he said he wants to run the ball some more. And which is false. He just wants to run in different situations. I was never a fan of Kellen Moore as an overall, you know, offensive coordinator, because I think he went too much for razzle dazzle, as opposed to just, I got Zeke. Let's just run the ball a little bit.
That's a case of Jerry getting involved.
That is.
That's a real, that's a solid.
This is, and I think
I scoreboard to light up, boy.
I think we mentioned this last year, but it still remains true that Jerry helps make decisions based on how much I'm paying people, as opposed to this is what's best for the team. Like if my best play is to turn around and hand it to my rookie running back or my, then turn around and hand it to him. No, Jerry, like, well, I'm paying this receiver 18 mil. So you got to throw him the ball. Yeah. You got to use him. And it's like, you can't go into a game, can't go into a season operating based on paychecks. I know that's what owners look at, but there's some people who get paid a certain dollar amount for a reason.
But the players are like that too, bro, because their agents are like that. You paying me this kind of money, now you playing with my money because I'm not getting the ball today. What's happening?
But here's the problem with that, is that falls back to the coach. Mike Tomlin puts up with a lot less and he has a lot more cachet, and Hoodie does too, and a lot of these coaches – consider and say, look, this is what's best for the team. This is what we're going to do. That ain't never been the Cowboys style.
I'll put it to you like this. If Russell Wilson, that situation we saw where Russell Wilson won that Super Bowl in Seattle, that would have never happened with the Cowboys. That it's not possible. The Bengals, it would have never happened with the Bengals. There are certain franchises where the owners way too much influence.
I was going to say, you telling me that Joe Burrow would not have, he would have turned around and handed that off to Mixon? No, he wouldn't have. They would have been looking for Chase.
No, absolutely. Would have
been looking for Chase.
No, I'm saying if that's the best play. That's my point. Only thing I'm saying is this.
It was the right play. Malcolm Butler made the play of his life, bro. It was the right play.
Okay. All I'm saying is Jerry Jones is Razzle Dazzle Mike Brown. They're the same thing. Take that for what you want. He right. is Razzle Dazzle headline. I'll give you a quick one-liner open to put in the paper. Though.
Mike Brown wouldn't open his checkbook for
again,
decades.
That is a story that gets told that actually we don't even hear the horrors of what Jerry Jones has done to some people's contract. My point is he's Razzle Dazzle, well-spoken, rah-rah Mike Brown. They're the same cat.
But shout out, I will give a shout out to one person, even though he's on the Cowboys. I think Micah Parsons is going to set the league on fire this year. I think
Did he train in the offseason?
He trained as a defense.
He's the best player on defense in the NFL for the first 10, 12 weeks. And then then something happens.
No, I totally get it. And I'm okay with it. Trust me. I am.
I know you okay with it. Because they usually play y'all late in the season.
Absolutely. Now you see how this works. But he's supposed to be doing full-time defensive end this year. So okay. I think them not moving him from side to side and all this other stuff, like I think him being able to focus on just being a pass rusher,
you know what?
I think he's going to have a monster season.
Since you bring it up, Andre, and since we're here, I'm going to say this. Here's a prediction. And this isn't even just for this season. I think Micah Parsons is this generation's version of Javon Kearse. I think he comes back down to earth. I think he comes way back down there. People forget. I lived in Nashville. I was at TSU when Javon Kearse was like
Peter Bowyer.
Okay, pick whoever you want to pick. All I'm saying is
I get what you're saying, but Tony Boselli kind of ended Javon Kearse's career. He took all his confidence.
Yeah,
right.
Nope, and that's all I'm saying. Quarterback. I think that part of the problem when you have these guys who are freak hybrids. That literally can play all seven positions up front. Like you can put them down with their hands in the dirt, or you can actually make a move. Eventually,
much of them. They blue screen.
Eventually,
you fry the hardball.
Eventually, not only it's a combination of there's some burnout that happens, and I get tired of you putting me all over here and I can't make plays anymore because I can't do enough of what I'm good at to actually be great at that thing. I think Micah Parsons, it's not because I don't think his talent, obviously he's that talented. I think he comes back down there. If it's not, I'm not saying he's going to crash to the ground this year. I'm saying the way we're talking about Micah Parsons right now, I think 3 years from now, that dude might be signed in – you know, playing for the Rams or playing for the Broncos or something, and we'll forget, but we'll be like, man, what could it be?
He going to play for Tomlin.
Okay, well, wherever he goes, my point is I don't think he finishes with the Cowboys because Jerry Jones going to fall out of love with him with two consecutive seasons of underwhelming play, and I think this year is going to be underwhelming. That's my prediction.
Well, he said he got to pay Micah because he didn't want to pay Zach. Yeah. He said, the boy got to understand, I got 11 to pay soon. He going to want some money, too. That's what he said the other day.
Jerry talk a lot, though. He say a lot of things.
And the only time Mike Brown opened his mouth was when he went to talk about hogs going through a trough.
Right.
That's the only difference between them cats. And I stick to that. I'm sorry.
Well, I think I hate the philosophy when D coordinators, when they have like, what I call a bastard, a dude, like you said, you could put anywhere and he can do anything.
He can drop back
when they try to line him up in the middle, like you taking him out of the play.
Yeah.
Right.
Put him on one side of the field and they're going to go away from him.
Yeah.
Or directly at him. Right.
Yeah.
So the only way you take him out of the play is if you directly go at him. I'm sorry. Yeah. Cause if you run away from him, he'll run him back every time.
Right. Yeah.
But if you put him right there in the middle, unless he's Aaron Donald, he's definitely lining up over the ball where he can wreak havoc
and
attract the triple team. That's a whole different animal. But when you
Reggie White's and Aaron Donald, stuff like that, right?
Don't put him in the middle. Like, why would you put J.J. Watt and stand him up in the middle?
That's crazy.
And that's stupid.
Even like with that, that's one of the things that, like with the Cowboys, I think that not that this is an apples-apples comparison, But I think about some of the – there were years where Ray Lewis, everybody talked about how menacing and amazing he was. And he was amazing, don't get me wrong. But there was an awful lot of Sam Adams and Tony Siragusa up there because – and what I'm saying is I don't think that the Cowboys are constructed in a way that Micah Parsons' play is sustainable because he can be defensed. Like you can actually set up
if they make him a true Sam or a true Will, he can play for 15 years.
There you go. But I don't believe the Cowboys are gonna do that.
But you're putting his hand in the dirt and he's small and he don't have no technique. You're stupid. Like I don't understand that at all. If you want him to rush the passer, stand him up off
there you go
and let him come that way. Don't put his hand in the dirt. That's the dumbest thing ever.
There you go. But a lot of that,
I personally loving this.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of that, though, real quick, just to cap this off, I think that the Lawrence Taylor comparisons are influencing this decision to put him, like you said, they're going to put him full time down on the end. He's not Lawrence Taylor, and people need to cut this out. Just stop. Yeah. He's not Lawrence Taylor. He's not as big. He's not as big a man. Mm-hmm. As Lawrence, and especially when you consider what offensive lines looked like back then,
he's not as fast or strong either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's
because his arms are short when they get on him. That's why he gets hurt. That's why he wears down because all they got to do is get him because then they can. Shoot gaps. He ain't bull rushing nothing.
People need to understand that Lawrence Taylor started out. What was it, North Carolina? He started out as a tight end. He was considered a big tight end, and they moved him over to defense. He just didn't have that great a hand. But my point is, I think that comparison to Lawrence Taylor early on, I think that got people influenced into thinking that, oh, he's a hand in the dirt. He can put him in. And I'm like, no, don't do that to him long term. And I know, Andre, I know you're enjoying this. All I'm saying is I think he comes back down to earth, and I think Jerry Jones gets tight on that pocketbook a little bit. And it becomes an issue because that's what he does with all the stars. He did it with Zeke for a little while. He did it with Dak. He does it with a lot of them where it's like, I'm going to talk it up real quick as an excuse to not have to pay somebody else. But when it's your turn, I'm going to get tight on that pocketbook too. But he's Mike Brown who gives us sound bites.
I just want to go back 1 second. You said Lawrence Taylor was a tight end?
He was originally a tight end.
Jesus.
At North
Christ.
Carolina.
Talk about a change that worked out.
Your boy Lane Johnson was a quarterback at Oklahoma.
He was, yeah. That's somebody to be like, hey, why don't you try this other side of the ball? And you become the best ever at it.
How about, you know, it's funny because, you know, during the Hall of Fame stuff, they were talking about how they moved, Buccaneers safety?
Rondé Barber?
No. What's the dude?
Lynch. John Lynch.
Lynch.
He was a quarterback. Yeah,
he was a quarterback, right?
He's a quarterback at Stanford. And couldn't get on the field.
And Bill Walsh said, hey, man, like, it ain't going to happen. Why don't you try this out? And reluctantly, he did. But because he was just going to go play baseball. He was a whole dude.
Yeah.
And that's my point, is that a lot of these cats, they were same thing with Mahomes, a dude in baseball. Same thing with Russell Wilson. Same thing with a lot of them.
But
Marcus Allen was a safety. Yeah. Ronnie Lott was a running back.
There you go.
They switched them.
You got to move them. That's what happened. And in college, especially, a lot of people don't realize how many guys show up. I came in as a quarterback and got moved to, you know, safety or got moved. Even my guy, like our guy, right? We think about how long it took for them to finally put him in the hall, but we forget that the Rattler, mm-hmm. he was a quarterback. He was that mm-hmm. guy too.
Yeah.
Never played defense at all until he got to the Bengals. Mm-hmm.
So all this to say, parents, when you're raising your kids and they playing high school football, if you can't see them playing multiple positions, they probably ain't making it to the NFL. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Barely college. Like as we said, these people playing.
Don't call them talking about I'm a running back or I'm a quarterback or I'm a wide out.
All these people we mentioned.
I'm a baller.
Ballers. That's what this comes down.
Yes.
But before we wrap and get our predictions, I have went long enough without talking about the Eagles. Now let's talk about the Eagles.
Right. Go ahead and get to it.
All right. So
start the clock, Paul. You got 60 seconds.
I can knock it out in 60 seconds. So Jalen Hurts, I think, is still going to take another step forward. I think the offense itself is going to have the continuity. I mean, to bring, you know, pretty much everybody back except for Miles Sanders. And Miles Sanders, like, he was one of four tailbacks that played every game. So, cool. I think DeAndre Swift coming over. Like, I think each tailback that they brought over is going to add something for a certain period of games. Whether Swift lasts the entire season or just four games. Okay, we had a great four games out of you. Penny, get up. All right, we had a great four games out of you. Gainwell. Like, I think
Penny is a big pickup because I was really hyped about him coming out. He never could get it going up in Seattle.
Yeah, he never could stay healthy. But overall, I think just the overall feeling of the backfield, I think in certain times, in certain games and things like that, everybody's going to have breakout time. So I think the running game, even though we lost the offensive coordinator, is still going to be formidable. And I think DeVonta Smith, even though I think last year he had a breakout year, some people are still saying you need to watch out for him. I'm like, no, he's here. I think he's actually going to lead the Eagles in receptions, in yardage and catches. I think AJ Brown will still lead it in touchdowns because that's who he is. But I think DeVonta is ready to go for 100 plus catches this year. When I got 30 seconds left, move over to the defense. Hell, the defense is Georgia Bulldogs. Like, I mean, it's just, let's just. Boy. Just imagine what you think the Georgia Bulldogs.
They called Kirby and said, "Yeah, just line them up. Just line them up.
Give me him.
I will
him
say
back here.
Up.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, who was it that picked up the? Was it the Eagles that picked up the guy? Didn't they move up to get him from Georgia?
Carter. Yes, that is.
I'm gonna tell you right now. That right there.
The incident.
Shame on everybody else.
Heard from Warren Sapp at all, did they?
Not a drop. That right there, I'll be honest with you. That is we haven't got to the predictions yet. That move right there, in my opinion, tilts the winner of this division.
Yes.
And I'll just say that.
But that, like when you combine that and the fact that Jordan Davis showed up this year in shape, like it's going to look different. No, I mean, like, they said dude is coming in 325, 350, like in that range as opposed to 360. Mm. Like, and he's still moving people. Like, I don't know if y'all remember the film from last year where he moved the backup center like 15 yards in the opposite direction.
Like one hair will. Yes. And hit the gas.
Right. He shifted that bang in the five, like.
So, and I think the secondary is still going to be you know, a top spot there. But I think they're going to be top spot because the defensive line is still going to get after the quarterback the way they always have, with pressure up the middle and Reddick coming off the outside. So it's still I expect us to have more of the same is really what I'm getting to. But so I'll go ahead and knock out since I'm already talking. I'll go ahead and knock out what my order is.
Cut to chase. Let's go.
Well, the Eagles are going to win the division. I got them 12, 13 wins somewhere in that range again. I got the Commanders finishing second. Then we got the Cowboys
going to finish second.
I didn't want to say their name, but
and then you got the Giants bringing it up.
I got the Giants bringing it up in the rear just because Daniel Jones, one, also stayed healthy last year, which is something that he hadn't done. I think people are going to have good seasons. I just don't think health is going to be on Daniel Jones's side. I think he has to do more. He only threw for more than 230 yards in like one game last year. Like, that's crazy to me to know that that's what, you know, what he put out there, but that's what we have. So I think when we come to that, I think the Giants are just going to come back down because they're still missing pieces. Like, I think last year was a smokescreen that people didn't recognize that they still aren't as talented as they should be. They got a couple pieces, but their wide receiving core is JV.
Their receiver group is suspect. Yeah.
And so unfortunately, that's a hard tell on what you can get out of Daniel Jones because he ain't throwing the real receivers. Like, he's not throwing to A-list receivers. They don't have a true number one on the squad. I don't even think they got a number two.
Five on that squad. What? He's throwing a practice squad cat.
To man. Your Let's point, keep it 100. But to your point, like seriously, and this goes back to what Paul was saying earlier. If Daniel Jones had, let's say, for example, T. Higgins, Bengals don't re-sign him, and he ends up signing with the Giants. Just a big, tall
target.
Yeah. I think literally, and I'm not even being hyperbolic, that 15 touchdowns turns into 30.
I can see that. I mean,
because it changes the trajectory. It raises everybody else's level up. So
it gives him different coverage. It does all
that. There we go. That's what I was about to say. It gives him different windows.
Yeah, absolutely. Windows get bigger.
But right now, there's not a wide receiver that they have on their team that the Eagles
can draw a double team.
That the Eagles can't guard man to man.
How about like, this?
Literally man to man.
Here go one for you, Andre. You'll like this. Eli Apple can cover everybody on the Giants roster by himself. With no safety help. By himself. They can put Eli on an island.
Yeah.
Like I'm not even joking.
You are dead serious, that's what makes it funny, right? Is the fact that the reality is that is true.
That's
that
our on this show. That's our baseline. Right. Can Eli cover you on an island?
I mean, that's if Eli can cover you by yourself. Are you really a starting wide out?
I mean, we're talking about the whole game too.
Like, shout out to Eli Apple if you want to come on the show. This is, I promise we ain't hating, but I got to hit
you. No, because no wide receiver in the NFL should feel like a man could cover him on the island.
Yeah. So no, did you no put your prediction out, Paul? I don't care who. Or do I need to go?
Whatever. You should feel like I can catch a couple of at least.
All right.
Well, so Billy, what's your prediction? Let's get your four.
I gave my predictions.
Go ahead and do it again. Because
I had the Giants winning. Okay, I had the Giants.
What's the rest of them, man? We heard that foolishness. Who else you got?
And then I had the Cowboys and the Commanders bringing up the rear.
Okay.
And I had them all. I had the division basically from first through fourth, like two games separating them.
Got it. That's right. You did say that.
First through fourth.
Yeah. I just wanted your order. Yeah. So when you're wrong, we can actually pull up the tape.
Yeah, nobody's gonna win less than 8 or 9 games, and nobody's gonna win more than 11.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. My pick is this. I have it. I think that in a last game of the season scenario, I'm gonna say it like this.
That's what I was saying.
It's gonna look just like what happened in the AFC North last year, where everybody thought the Bengals were gonna come back down to earth. I don't think the Eagles are going to come all the way back down to the earth, like just totally crash.
No.
I think that the gap between – I think Washington is going to surprise people. So here's my pick. I like the Eagles to basically tie the Commanders with the record.
Mm.
I think the Eagles get it on the tiebreaker. And if they don't tie, it's going to be like 11 and 6, 10 and 7. Like it's going to be like – that kind of squeaker. I think Washington gets in. I think it will be Cowboys, and I think the Giants are going to come in dead last. I think that the biggest mirage all season last year was the Giants. I think the Giants are probably going to be drafting third or fourth.
Caleb Williams.
They're going to be drafting. Yeah. They're going to be drafting. Yeah.
They're in the hunt.
They're going to be in the hunt. Yeah. They're going to be. They'll be. I think the Giants, in my personal opinion, I think the Giants are easily a top 5 draft pick. We're going to be talking about them in February.
Talking about tanking for Bowers.
Talking about tanking for somebody. They're going to be tanking for somebody.
They're the ones that need to be tanking for Marvin Harris or Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
They need some wide receivers. Tank
for Bowers.
But, yeah. So that's what I got.
I'm good.
Tank for both of them then.
Right. If I can get one, I can change my franchise.
Yeah. I think, and here's what I'm saying. I think that just frankly, it would be blasphemous and disrespectful, even though I think Jalen Hurts comes back down a little bit from the MVP conversation of last year. He's still Jalen Hurts. So it's like, I don't think he's going to like suck or nothing like that. But I think he comes back a little bit to the pack. And yet I still think he's so amazing that the Eagles just – I can't in good conscience pick the Commanders to win the division over the Eagles with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. I just can't do it. But I do believe it's going to be one of those. They're not running away with this division. This is going to be this is going to come down to the last week of the season.
Once that tape come out, life get different.
Way different.
These defensive coordinators are smart guys in the league. Boy. They take away everything you love to do when they can.
And much like what you were saying after the Bengals Super Bowl year, Paul, the reason why Burrow didn't completely come back to earth, in my opinion, because he has so much talent around him. The wide receiver room was ridiculous. And I think the same thing is going to be true for the Eagles.
He almost messed it up trying to do too much. And then he figured out running backs and tight ends can catch the ball. And then he can go over top.
And I think
that like Hurts, he really want to do.
The beauty of Hurts is Hurts got his money. He's not trying to prove nothing no more.
No, he's not. He's going to play within the system.
And so I honestly, but he's a grinder. He's one of those integrity wise. He's an amazing person and leader. And so I think the Eagles, I just can't pick the Commanders over them, but I really think Commanders are going to scare them to death.
Right.
They got the squad to do it. They got the personnel to be able to do it, but
They ain't got no quarterback. They got to receive. If they
Sam Howell is the quarterback.
If
big time Sam.
If Danny Dimes had McLaren, I forget how you pronounce his name.
McLaren.
I want to say it wrong. Yeah. If he had him matched with Saquon, they would be a different team.
An entirely different squad.
Yeah.
But they got me and you.
And me on the pup list.
I'm over here looking. Am I on the line? Am I on the line? All right, I'm on the line. Good.
Right.
That's what we throw into. But no.
Hut.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this special edition of the Gray Matters. We want to thank you for joining us on our NFL preview show. Please feel free to drop us a line, give us comments if you got any questions or if you want to just argue with us because you disagree with our selection. Next week, we will be tackling the AFC and NFC South, so feel free to join in with that. Also, quick plug here, we're going to be coming to you all season long to talk football. So this is not just for us to give you our predictions and previews. Get ready for us because we're going to be coming to you every week. Paul with his regular foolishness, Andre with his elite level stats, and again
every Wednesday,
I'm sure that I may have something to say about the Cincinnati Bengals. With that,
it won't make sense, farewell. But he want to say it anyway.
And we will see you again next time as we continue our coverage of the NFL this year, 2023. Be blessed.
Bring your stats.
Right. Are welcome.